Praise God. Usually when you've just met people, one of the first questions, you know, when you're making small-time conversations, usually one of the first questions they ask is, what do you do for a living? You know, they're like, do you have a job? What do you do for a living? And I personally don't like to ask that question, because sometimes when people tell you what they do for a living, when you've just met them, sometimes you tend to form assumptions. So for example, if somebody tells you they're an administrator, you're like, okay, this is a person who has really good organization skills. Or if they tell you they work in a care home, you're like, okay, this is someone who is very caring. Or if they told you they're a chartered surveyor, you'd assume no one likes them. That's why they have to spend most of their times in empty buildings or up on the roof, because everyone clears off when they come around. But then, I happen to think it's a little strange, you know, you've known me for 2 minutes and you're trying to ask me, so what do you do for a living? I'm like, why are you asking me? Are you trying to figure out if I can pay your bills or not, or something like that? Sorry, I'm a little weird, but I think I'm in good company. But then there's also the other side of things, of what people think of you. So a few weeks ago, so I won't mention Clive and Sally by name, but they came to my house and they brought me a chili plant. So they were trying to tell me what they think of me, you know, that too much of me brings tears to their eyes, and I'm like, oh, okay. And they later confessed to me they actually wanted to buy me a cactus, but they held off, and they said, let's not get there. But there's also the thing about what does God think of us. And about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Terry spoke about God is love, and spoke in length about God is love and how much he loves us. And actually, Jeannie talked about how God is love and he loves us through and through. So actually, that talk of Pastor Terry's was entitled God is Love, not Juanita's Equestrian Adventures, although most people thought that is what it was called, but that isn't what it was. And then the week after, Pastor Juanita talked about how, knowing that we are rooted in God's love, we can make good decisions based on that. And so today I just want to talk about, who do you think you are? And who do we think we are based on our role in building up the kingdom of God? And last week, Pastor Trevor talked about how we have the Holy Spirit to enable us to partake in the divine nature of God. And just a few weeks ago, Pastor Andrew had talked about how God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be bold, not so that we can keep quiet, but so that we can talk. And I'd like us to look at the book of Philemon. And actually, I was really excited. Clive sent me an email last night. I only read it this morning. And he said he's actually talking about Philemon next week. So I'm really excited that we are going to be in this book for 2 weeks running. So Philemon, wow, that's small. Philemon is actually a book that Paul wrote from a prison, probably in Rome, and he wrote it to three people. He wrote it to Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus, but mainly he was writing to Philemon. And in verse 1 to 7, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ, Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. So Philemon was somebody who was a Christian, and he had opened up his home so that all different believers could come into the house and just be encouraged. And just that, Paul writes a really good greeting. And so instead of just saying, hi, hello, how are you, and moving on, he took time to encourage Philemon. And who knows, this is a guy who was probably consistent in doing good. And maybe people took him for granted, and they never realized all the wonderful things that he did. Because unfortunately in life, the way you know you're doing a good job is when nobody notices the job that you're doing. So for example, when people who are always late come early, somebody's like, wow, you came early. What about the people who are always early? No one notices that. So, every single month, we receive a new booklet with all the dates that are in, with all nicely done adverts, stuff neatly chopped up and all stapled up. You know, everyone takes it for granted because it happens all the time. You know, no one takes a minute to say, oh, wow, thank you. So Paul paused to say, you know what, all these things that you're doing, they are supposed to be the things that a Christian does, encouraging your brothers, loving your brothers, refreshing their hearts. That's the normal thing that everyone is supposed to be doing. But he took time to say, well done. And I want to be that kind of person, you know, the kind of person who stops and encourages people, you know, who doesn't just notice, wow, that who notices that, okay, every single day the heating in the church when I come in to sit down is nice, and you don't just notice when the heating goes wrong. Somebody like that. And then, okay, so Philemon was actually, in verse 2 he says, and to the church that meets in your home. The home that Paul was talking about was in Colossae. So Philemon doesn't explicitly say that he was right, that Philemon lived in Colossae, but there are a few clues. So that's actually Colossians 4:17, not 1:3-4. It says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. So when Paul was writing the letter to the Colossians, he said, by the way, tell Archippus this. And this is the same Archippus that we saw before he was writing to Philemon too. So that's the clue that Archippus actually lived in Colossae. And since he was writing to Philemon about Archippus, he was also from Colossae. So, and actually, most scholars think that Paul never got to Colossae, because in Colossians 1:3-4, Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. So Paul had only just heard of these Colossians, and most probably he had never been to Colossae. So if he had never been to Colossae, how is it that the Colossians had a thriving church that Paul was able to write to? In verse 6, Paul went on to say, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So, going back a little bit, there's something in Acts 19 that talks about Paul being in Ephesus for about 3 years. He ministered in Ephesus, and it's the longest time he was in a single place, for about 3 years. And it's probable that Epaphras heard Paul preaching and was on fire with the gospel. And then he went to back home because he says there, you learned it from Epaphras. So Epaphras went back home to Colossae and planted this church in Colossae, having heard the gospel from Paul. And then later on in Colossians 4:12, Paul also writes, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you, while writing to the Colossians, meaning Epaphras, who is a Colossian, is sending his greetings. So he came from Colossae as well. Jumping back to Philemon 23, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. So in Colossians 4:12, when he wrote to the Colossians, he says, Epaphras sends you greetings. When he wrote to Philemon, he said, Epaphras sends you greetings. There's two things here. Number one, when Paul wrote to the Philemon, must have known Epaphras, otherwise why would Paul say Epaphras sends you greetings? Another clue to say that Philemon was probably also from Colossians, since Epaphras was a Colossian. But then also, it also says Epaphras sends you greetings. So Colossians 4:12 and Colossians and Philemon, they were written at the same time. Because it shows that Epaphras, when Paul wrote those letters to the Colossians and to Philemon, he was with Epaphras together, and it was at the same time. So those letters were sent out at the same time, which makes sense. If someone was making the journey all the way from Rome, which is where Paul was imprisoned, all the way to Colossae, and you just deliver a letter to the Colossians, and then do a detour and deliver a letter to Philemon. And then jumping back to Colossians, just before he talked about Epaphras, he says, Paul talks about, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So we see a new name here, this guy Tychicus, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but he's the guy who actually delivered the letter to Colossians. He's the one who was delivering the letter to the Colossians. And as we said earlier, that the letter to the Colossians and the letter to Philemon, they were delivered at the same time. Now, but that's not the only letter that Tychicus delivered. He also delivered, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. This is to Ephesians. So it's most probable that the letter to Philemon, the letter to Colossians, and the letter to Ephesus were all delivered at the same time. And this is just a quick map. And at the time, Paul was in Rome, in chains, and Tychicus delivered the letter all the way from Rome to Ephesus, which is a travel distance, not a straight line distance, a travel distance of about 1,239 miles. But remember, he was in rickety boats. He didn't have B&Bs to stay in. He had like robbers, very, very tough circumstances in delivering that letter. And then from Ephesus, he went to Colossae to deliver that letter. So sorry, I'll just recap. As I said, I just wanted to talk about that we each have different roles in building up God's kingdom. And now we've seen Epaphras, who had the gospel of Jesus from Paul, went back home, and then and then started a church. And then we had Philemon. He opened up his home to all these new believers so that they could come in and be blessed and be refreshed and be built up. And then we have Tychicus, who was, you could just say, oh, he's just a letter carrier. But he was entrusted by Paul to be able to make that horrible journey that looks really bad when you consider the circumstances. He was on foot and everything. That horrible journey to be able to deliver those letters. So we see these guys in completely different roles, all doing the work of God. But I'd like to go back to Colossians 4:7-8 just a little quickly. And there's a name we missed out. He says in verse 9, Paul wrote, he is coming. This is Tychicus. Tychicus is coming. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. He uses the same phrase he uses for Epaphras. That's to say that Onesimus was also a Colossian. So Tychicus was coming with a guy called Onesimus. Let's just keep that name there. And then Paul goes on to say, therefore, although in Christ, this is Paul writing to Philemon, this is a continuation of Philemon 8-11. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, who now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. This is the same Onesimus that he said came with Tychicus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. As we have already determined, Paul was at the moment most definitely in Rome, and he was in chains, and he could have been depressed and said, you know what, God, this isn't working. I'm in chains. I'm in a prison. This is not going to work. But actually, he still had a lot of hope, because he said, you know what, I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually served for my good, because as a result of it, it is clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So Paul was chained, was had to always be chained to a Roman guard. And so instead of saying, you know what, I'm chained to a Roman guard, this isn't going to work, he thought, you know what, this guy is actually also chained to me. So if I'm chained to him, he has nowhere else to go, so he has to listen to my gospel too. So he kept up his hope. And as he said, this is my gospel, in 2 Timothy 2:8-9, he says, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. So he did not say, oh, okay, he did not discover that, okay, there's nothing wrong. He said, yes, I am being chained like a criminal, but he still had his hope, and he said, God's word is not chained. And actually, in Philemon, you saw that he still had hope of getting out and continuing with his life, because he told Philemon in verse 22, and one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. So he was hoping that he would get out of this prison and be able to visit these guys in prison. I mean, in Colossae, and be with them and teach them. But Paul, if we go back to verse 8 to 11, Paul has said that, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. So Paul is writing this letter to appeal to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. So it seems that Onesimus has done something wrong to him. So in verses 12 to 16, Paul goes on to write, I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he would take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So here we see what it is. Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master, Philemon, and ran all the way to Rome. Now, I just want to hone in on the slave part and just explain a little bit. In Roman, I don't want us to look at slave as we think of slave right now. What it was is, in Roman times, if you had an accountant, for example, the accountant was your slave. If you had a lawyer, for example, the lawyer was your slave. Or if you had a doctor, the doctor was your slave. I'm not saying that all masters were good and so all slaves were happy. No, that's not the case. But I just want to figure out that when Paul says that, I want him to bring him back, because when he was writing to Colossians, he says, slaves, you must obey your masters. And unfortunately, sometimes Paul's words have been meant to mean something that he didn't. So when he says that Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master and gone all the way to Rome, so it's a bit like how Linda was talking about a God incident whereby the car stopped right in front of a Christian couple's house, and the guy happens to be an engineer, and they happen to have a doll's house where her granddaughter could play. So it was also a God incident in that Onesimus ran all the way from Colossae up to Rome to get lost, and then he meets up with Paul and he becomes a Christian while Paul is in chains. So that was a God incident. Yes. So that is what Paul is writing about. He's saying, could you please receive this man back? No longer as a slave, but both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Now, what Paul was asking was really difficult, because this guy was a slave, and the Romans really feared slave revolts. So, for example, they'd already had 3 slave revolts. They'd already had 2. And then one, which was really a big revolt, and it was one of the leaders was a guy called Spartacus. So there's a Hollywood movie with Kirk Douglas called Spartacus. But so this third revolt had been started by gladiators. And so they had, you know, because they had military experience, they had sort of been really, what's the word? They had defeated some of the Roman armies. So the Romans wanted to make examples of any slaves who ran away. If they came back, they branded them, they made them pay, so that other people didn't think, oh, okay, I can just run away and come back and do nothing. So what Paul was asking was really hard for Onesimus, because he was telling him, you know what, I know you live with people who all around you have slaves. This guy ran away and is coming back. I just want you to take him back. That was a very hard thing. But in verse 17 to 21 of Philemon, Paul went on to say, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him, that is Onesimus, as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. So Paul said, okay, I don't expect you to just take him back without any consequences, because it seems here that actually Philemon hadn't just run away. He had probably run away and stolen some money or some goods from Onesimus. So Philemon, when by the time he left, he hadn't been a very good man. And Paul wasn't saying, I'm not saying just forget it. I will pay it back. And even more, I'm writing this with my own hand. So Paul usually used to dictate his letters. And as we said earlier, it's probably because he was in chains. So his hands hurt. I'm assuming that his hands must have had to write. But he said, you know what? I'm writing this in my own hand. I will pay you back. And what an example, what an analogy to show what God does for us. You know, I know you've done wrong stuff. Come back. It's when you come back to me and restore this, doesn't cost nothing. It costs something. It cost me my own life to redeem you and bring you back. But what a great story. Now, the title of this talk, I actually called it, Who Do You Think You Are? Actually, if you receive the email that has the video on the video that Pastor Trevor and Anita do, if you do not receive that video, that email that has what's coming this Sunday, you need to sign up and receive it. But also, if you don't watch those videos, you do not know what you're missing. They're hilarious. It's like Laurel and Hardy part two. But the reason this service is called Everyone Involved Service, isn't that what you called it, Pastor? That's what you called it. And so I wanted to call this talk All In or Everyone Included, because, you know, like, just to show that all these guys have different roles. But I will tell you why I called it Who Do You Think You Are. It's because, you know, standing here, I consider it a great privilege. And it's a very big privilege. And you won't imagine how many times when I'm trying to prepare something, the thought, who do you think you are to be standing here, tries to come through my, you won't imagine. Most times I'm like a ninja, I manage to get the thought before it comes through, but sometimes it comes through. And I'm sure I can't be the only one who thinks like that, because Shirley was talking about she wanted to climb because she wanted to do something out of her capacity that only God can do. And I'm sure that every single one of us, when we try to go out of our own capacity and do things, the thought, who do you think you are, will always come. Who do you think you are, Philemon? All you have is a house, you know. You're not a preacher like Paul. Just stay back. Who do you think you are, Epaphras, to take the gospel back from Ephesus to Colossae? All you are is a man. You're not a preacher. Leave it to Paul. Who do you think you are, Paul? You're in chains right now. Come on, just relax. Let other people do the work. You're in chains. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Tychicus? All you know how to do is carry a letter. I mean, anyone can do that. Just, why are you bothering? Who do you think you are, Onesimus? Just a slave who ran away and stole your master's goods. Who do you think you are? I'd like to finish with one story. Today is the men's Wimbledon final, and yes, it is. And on the second week of Wimbledon, the second Monday of Wimbledon, it's called Manic Monday because all 32 players who are still in the singles, all of them play at the same time. So of course, everyone wants to play on center court. Everyone wants to play on court number one, because those are the cool courts, you know. Nobody wants to play on anything that is not center court or court number one. But because there are so many people playing, some people get to play on courts that they don't play. So there's this guy called Rafael Nadal, who's a really, really good tennis player, and he played on center court. But the world's number one, the women's number one, was played on court number two. She's been the world number two for less than, the ladies' world number one for less than a month, you know. So there was this reporter, when he went into the press conference, the reporter said to him, "Why did you play on center court? You know, the world number one was on court number two. So you don't belong here." He was sort of saying, she deserves to be on court number, on center court more than you. She deserves to be on center court, and you are the one who should be on court number two. And I will just tell you . So the guy asked him, "She's the world number one. Basically, she's the world number one. She's the one who deserves on center court. Who do you think you are to be on center court?" And Rafael Nadal said, "I am the world number two, and I won 18 Grand Slams." Okay? That's all you need to know. And in any circumstances, when you get that, who do you think you are? I hope you can have an answer. I had an answer, but I'm going to take Jeannie's, because when she was talking here, I'm going to steal her answer. She said, it doesn't, something to the effect, it doesn't matter what others think of you. I am the daughter of God. So, who do you think you are? And I pray that you may know your identity, you know, and stand in it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that we are here only because you redeemed us and brought us back. Father, we ask that we may stand in your identity, in the fact that you have redeemed us, in the fact that we are loved and known by you, and in that identity do the things that you want us to do. Amen.